Welcome, everybody. It's the Hour of Truth. And truth is, I don't know where we're going, but we'll find something out and see what we can bat around here on what has, at least by the world, become celebrated as Easter Sunday, Sunday of the Resurrection. And, you know, the only thing that I wanted to say about the resurrection probably comes out of Philippians 3. But did that confuse you enough? Because I was looking at Matthew when he sat down here. It's like,
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea, but, you know, praise God.
Absolutely. Well, it... There are all kinds of little snippets of scripture that are rolling around in my head. It's what's rattling this morning, I think. Well, I just totally lost track of that one. Anyhow, in what we are always having to address, what we're always having to deal with in our relationship with the Lord is our choices. You're going to believe what he says. You can believe what he says. And that was really what took me in service to Matthew 4 with, command these stones to be made bread when Satan's tempting Jesus. And it says, but man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. You believe that? I mean, because that's one of those extraordinary statements. And you cannot... It's a statement that requires you to either have faith or reject. You cannot quantify that and relate to it in the natural. You can't do it. It doesn't make sense in the natural. And... there's a transition here somewhere, and I'm probably not going to make a good one, but our challenge is to choose to put on the mind of Christ. Our challenge is to choose every day to put off the old man, put on the new man. And, you know, all that sounds very Philippians sort of. This is the transition. The transition is when I start hearing stuff like that, I start thinking about the real personal letters to the Philippians, to the Colossians, to the Thessalonians, to Timothy. And, you know, the way the instructions of Paul are how we operate in the kingdom. It's all about in the interface. You can't interface in the kingdom of God in the flesh. You can't do it in the natural. This stuff is, an offense. It is... too simple, and stuff is unreal. It's unbelievable. These things, they don't make sense. And that's why you have to choose to receive the word. You have to choose to believe the unbelievable. You have this, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. They're just times, and this time when everybody else in the world celebrating the resurrection of Christ kind of puts me back on some of these personal letters, like the ones to the Philippians in chapter 3. This is a passage we've gone over extensively, but... You know, all I need to know, and I need to know it all the time, about the resurrection of Christ is found here in chapter 3. And it's not a whole lot. It's a little single verse, but it works in the flow of chapter 3.
You know, you're talking about that interface, and what you know, you're talking about resurrection. You're talking about interface, and where my mind's going as you're talking about these things is one of them. And I want to know the scripture on it where he talks about how the seed must die and then it brings forth fruit. That what you're describing is making a choice to listen to the new man and putting the old down.
Yeah.
Which Christ gave us freedom to do. You know, and so when you're talking about that interface, we can't interface naturally with our carnal mind with any of those things. To me, I mean, the power of his resurrections gives us that ability to put that. That's what baptism is about, put that old man down.
Right.
And enter into his new life, which comes from God.
Right. And, you know, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, even Corinthians. There's agreement in all of them, and that's part of the web. I have, you know, I mentioned in the service that there's interconnectedness between all of them. And, you know, chapter 3 is part of Paul's, in Philippians, is part of Paul's testimony to the Philippians. It is a personal sharing of his faith and his where he's come from and what Jesus and his resurrection means to him. And it touches my heart. It is the humanity and the of what is a dynamic figure in the Christian faith, a father in the Christian faith. And you know, it's some of what people who don't know Davey don't understand, how personal and real his faith prospers and has lifted others out of death and into life. You know, it is just it is the power of the gospel.
And you know, you're talking about Davey's faith. You know, one of the things that with Davey's faith that, you know, that come to my mind with that is that Davey's faith comes from believing God and believing his word and agreeing with it. And that's why it's fruitful.
Right.
That's why it's fruitful, because it agrees with God. Word.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings forth not his own message, but God's message.
And in the goodness of God and his operation, you know, we get to partake of
absolutely,
absolutely commitment of God to him and his ministry. So it's
absolutely,
that's a beautiful thing. So let's start reading verse 1, kind of arbitrarily in the middle of Philippians, and see what we get.
Okay, sounds like a winner. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised.
Let's stop there for a minute.
Okay.
Because, you know, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And the concision are really the people who come in and say they agree with you, and then want to mix faith with the law, right?
Right.
Now, that's pretty... It's a pretty cold way to describe these people, isn't it? I mean, that's tough. Tough wording. Dogs? Calling them dogs? Come on. Well...
And evil workers.
There. Evil workers.
I mean, I'm looking at evil workers to me. I mean, that's the evil working of that you can do it. That by you are saved by what you...
You can impress God.
Yeah, you can impress God, and by keeping the law, you are righteous. And no, your only reason why you're righteous is because of what the Lord has done for you. And now, what He has done on the cross. And believing it and receiving it.
Of course, my mind goes immediately to the offending verse. Instead of actually starting on the first verse, I went to the second verse.
Right? All right.
The idea of we've done this before. You know, we've done this passage before. But there's still profit in doing this passage again. It's not grievous. It's safe. Right? I mean...
Well, I mean, why do we come together? I mean, we come together all the time in services and these things to get reminded consistently what it's about. And it's about the Lord.
Yes.
And what He has done.
Yeah, we don't bring much to this little game here. It's we got no game. When we come here, nothing. We got nothing. So... He really doesn't like the concision very much. The people who want to mix law and faith, law and
And it shows that when in the next verse, I mean, beware of evil workers. That's, I mean, to me, that's that self righteous working that you try to do, you know. But in the next verse,
Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Paul Muller paraphrased it. You're toast.
Exactly.
You're toast.
Exactly.
And that's one of those Matthew verses that used to scare the crap out of me, because there's no way I could be as good as them.
No.
They have it. They in the Muslims and the Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witnesses. Man, and Mormons, they can do the thing they do. I mean, they're really dedicated to the cause. Me, I'm just a dirt bag who, I'm not that good, man. They look good in a suit. I'm me. And
right, and you know what you find, and it's funny, it says exceeds.
Yeah, you got
exceeds it. I mean, that's the point that, you know, excel. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But there is. But what? The only way we have that is by Jesus Christ.
Right.
And what He has done.
That's the only
way. That's the only
way
you can receive that righteousness. That's
the only way you can exceed the righteousness, which is self-righteousness, described in the Pharisees, is with Jesus' righteousness. That's the only way it works. And then He says in verse 3. We are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit. And that takes me, you know, to John 4, where he tells the woman at the well, day is coming when everyone who receives the word and worship the Father in spirit and truth. And that's the only way it works. And you know, the idea that it makes a difference how you get the Father's acceptance. What is how you worship Him, you know, how obedient you are, how much you trust His word to be spirit and life. And deliverance and freedom from bondage and all that it is.
it looks like to me, Paul, I mean, correct me wrong, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That circumcision, the reason why the concision, he warned you about the concision first. That's trying to mix the law into the faith of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what that you described it as, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you're talking about the circumcision here, the circumcision he's talking about is that separation from the flesh and being righteous in the flesh into his life, into spirit. You know,
it's a spiritual circumcision, not made with hands.
Right.
That's what he says in Romans, right?
Right. I believe it's in Romans. I'm agreeing with you. I don't really know.
It's in there. I've seen it.
Okay.
It's right here. It's in here.
Well, I got you. You said right, like you're asking me, so I'm saying I don't know. If you say it's right, I'm sure it is. I'm sure you do know. So forgive me. But, you know, it talks about the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. So, you know, I kind of look at baptism on that. In the area where we, by faith, die to this flesh. And now we are alive under Christ. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That spirit that was cut from you, and all you could do is listen to that flesh, now you're being reconnected back to that spirit again.
Right.
And that's how you worship Him, is through the blood of the Lamb, which
through
you've
the
done.
Connectedness.
Where the connectedness, where
the idea
tore down the middle wall partition. You know,
the idea that God makes... His rules are righteous, and His, you know, judgments are righteous, and the idea that He gets to call the shots on how He receives relationship with you, how He is connected with you. He sets the rules on what is acceptable worship. He sets the rules on. It's not within our purview to do anything except seek Him, and seek Him totally. And then believe that He's serious when he makes the rules. They're not to hurt us. He makes the rules for us so that they're safe. And you know, when you find out how good He is, and you find out it's not all about you, when you find and you agree with all that stuff, you want to know how to be accept. How you don't want to be Cain. You want to be Abel. You don't want to be rejected of the Lord. And if the worship He receives in spirit and truth, then you got to find out how to do that.
Absolutely.
This is where the connection to that is, amongst other places, but it certainly is here.
Right. And rejoicing and have no confidence in the flesh. They are not justified by their flesh. And
no.
What they do. That's not where their confidence stands.
Right.
Do you want me to continue on in 4?
Yeah.
Okay. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Alright. Now this is his testimony. If there was any confidence to have in the flesh, I
have something to boast on.
I am. Absolutely. If any other man thinks he has something to boast about, trust me. I do it better than you do. I was a Pharisee. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, with a zeal. Yeah.
You know, the thing, what he, just concerning zeal persecuting the church, he was persecuting the body of Christ at that time. And to him, he thought he was what? Serving God. He was taking care of those blasphemers that went against God. the God of Abraham. But what he come to find out, he did that in ignorance. So that's why putting concerning zeal, persecuting the church, he was all about what he thought was serving God.
Right. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's a bold statement. And it,
I'm so glad we're not called today.
Actually, the law doesn't deliver righteousness, though.
Right.
See, that's the problem. The only righteousness you get covered with is Jesus.
That's right. And the touching the law, when he talks about in Romans, the law was to bring forth that you need him.
Right. It's to be a tutor pointing to Christ.
Absolutely.
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I don't think you ended in verse 6. Right?
I'm in verse 7. Yes, sir.
Okay. All that stuff, worthless.
Doesn't matter one lick.
All that zeal, all the works, all of the works of the law, all the pursuing the justice under the law and all that stuff, it's just worthless. It's not how you get God's attention.
And it won't measure up, and it won't suffice.
Right. So, start reading again.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
All right. Count things all loss for the knowledge, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And that doesn't. Let me see that. It's really stronger what he's saying here than what it says, because when we look at this. It's not as intense. All things, all those things, they're nothing. When you see it's all dung, then you understand how actually disconnected all this stuff is from what amounts to being worth anything to him now.
Well, at this point, it's like standing, like he's standing on this righteousness and all these things that he's talking about here. And he's saying, you know, to know the Lord and his righteousness, I have nothing to stand on.
Nothing.
Not a thing. Not a thing. That I may know Christ Jesus and how good he is and have a relationship with God, which is Jesus. You know, I mean, it's a man.
And, you know, the other thing about that is, that means we can have the knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And this is a knowledge that leads to acceptance to God, the Father, and salvation. This has something in it, delivers. The law doesn't deliver.
It's actually to point you to him.
Right. So, and being found in him, and that's kind of interesting the way he says that, though. He counts it all as loss, all as dung, that I may win Christ. Isn't that an interesting way of putting it?
That I may have him.
Right. Anyhow, that I be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, and by faith it's God's righteousness.
Amen.
The Lord my righteousness.
Amen.
So, you know, and that goes back to what we were saying several verses ago. That righteousness of the law is good. You can do the works of the law. It's not going to deliver acceptance to God. And that's why he counts all that stuff he was doing is worthless. Absolutely worthless.
Well, you know, one of the big things that we hit on, this brings me back to when Robin was down. One of the things she hit on is just, look, we have nothing. Here's Paul. I, after all the things I have done, I have nothing to offer. Not a thing. And it's all garbage. And the only thing that we could have is that righteousness of God through the faith in Jesus Christ.
All right, we're up again.
All right, so apparently we they missed us for quite a while as we got the message.
Great. Let's go back then to circumcise the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, the trouble with that is the righteousness of the law does not save you.
No.
Doesn't cover you. The righteousness that is of God through Jesus Christ does.
Amen.
And this stuff, all the stuff that he was, he counts as worthless. It's loss for Christ. Doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom every now and then I gotta look up there and make sure we're still on. It's so annoying. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. It's all right. I've lost it. I've lost all things. All that stuff that was dear and dear to me, all that stuff that mattered to me, it's gone.
Everything I stood on doesn't mean squat. And that
was his choice.
And you know what? He's way more happier with what he gains is Christ.
Right. And this is the key verse. And this is the one that makes Resurrection Sunday, if this is it, this is the one that makes it all work. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He died for me. That I don't have to. And even if I did, I don't have any righteousness to offer. The death doesn't pay. It might be justice executed on me, but it still doesn't pay the price for me. His did.
Amen.
And you know that because he's alive now.
And you know, when we were talking earlier, we were talking about worshiping in spirit and truth, which worship God in the spirit, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, is that you may know Jesus. You may know who he is.
That's right.
And you have that connection back with him again.
And his job was to show you Jesus, reveal Jesus to you. And our job as ministers is to reveal Jesus. And our job as a body, as a church body, is to reveal Jesus to everybody we come in contact with.
And it says, you know, here where it says being made conformable unto his death, Paul, I look at that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm looking at conformable to his death, is that this old nasty thing is dead concerning the flesh.
And then I know, you know, what he's talking about. I may know the power of his resurrection, but I may live with him now. And being conformable to death.
Being conformable to his death means that his death was able to pay the price. That's really what that means. And because we are hid in him, that death was able to pay the price for us. That we didn't die with him, but this cursed flesh is going to die.
Right, but we can live with him
absolutely.
We can live with him because he paid the price of the second death. Now this thing's going to die, absolutely. But you may know him in the power of his resurrection, being and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. You know, I look at that as this thing's dead. Now I can live with him because he paid the price, paid the second death. And here and now, even though I got this nasty flesh, I can abide in him in the kingdom now, in his body. Now.
Now. Through faith.
Amen.
Now, the fellowship of his sufferings. When you read verses like, you know, I came not to bring peace but a sword. And that is because to the people who receive him as an offense reject him. They want nothing to do with him. And then say he's, especially the rulers, the religious rulers of the day, the Pharisees, say that the stuff he's doing by the devil. We're doing it by Beelzebub. Yeah. They know better.
Yeah.
But they're trying to lead those who are already prone to reject him as an offensive creature. Rejection is the ultimate offense. There are going to be people who are going to reject us. And it's going to hurt. That's not the only suffering, but I mean, you know, we in this country not terribly familiar with being persecuted for our faith, but there's other sufferings that are certainly count, but rejection is one. It, you know, it's against our very nature. We want to be liked, but he was able to love us enough to tell us what we needed to know. That young ruler he talked to was. He loved him. And then he told him, well, you know, sell everything you got and
come and follow me.
Come and follow me. And that he was grieved. He was offended. So,
you know, that fellowship of sufferings I look at as standing with him and in agreement with him and not compromising
when it's convenient
on his word.
And when it's not.
Right.
Right. And then here comes the lack of presumption. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, we'll know when I know.
Yeah.
That's right. It's when I've endured to the end. Ah! And the studio falls apart.
And, you know, when you talk about if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, you know, we learn faith in him. You know, he was just talking about the righteousness that we have by faith in Christ. It's God's righteousness.
Yes.
And that faith that we can live unto him now. But now, not just live unto him now, but have the faith that he's going to resurrect you.
Yeah.
In the last day to go be with him.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
In the air when he calls.
That's a pretty big entrustment, isn't it?
Yeah, you are going to entrust that. You know, and we look at these things, and, you know, I mean, a good sign of looking at these, how much faith and trust are we putting in them now? I mean, do we have, sometimes we have the lack of faith in a lot of things in him. I mean, sometimes, man, if I can't trust him to get me through the day at work, let's for say. If I can't trust him to do that, am I really, and I don't have that faith built up on him to that point, am I really going to have the faith that he's going to resurrect me from the dead? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, I kind of look it on the inward fact. Do I not have faith that he's going to accomplish what he sought out in me now? Then what makes me think he's going to, I'm going to have the faith to meet him in the air and being resurrected from the dead here?
Yeah. You know? Not as though I'd already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know, I'm not there yet, but I follow after that I can get a hold of that for which Jesus got a hold of me to do and to be, and that's what this is about.
Amen. Perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
The only thing he's presumptive about is that Jesus is good.
Amen.
And that he can become more perfect. He can more perfectly serve him, and that's what being apprehend. I can grasp hold of that which Jesus chose me out for.
Amen. And you know, that's what, you know, when I brought up that point about you know, that I might attain unto the resurrection, to have faith in him that he's going to resurrect me from the dead. And he says right here, this is Paul the Apostle. And you know what he walked, what he went through.
Yeah.
And walked in the power of God. And he's still saying, not as though I have already attained. Well, he haven't attained. He's not there yet. Hasn't been resurrected. Not that he has that that presumptuous, like you said, that, oh yeah, I'm there. I'm at the mark. You know, here I am. I'm there at the mark. No, he goes,
that,
either we're
that
already
what you've
perfect
seen in me, that so do.
You know, but he said, not that though I have already attained, either we're perfect, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
And really, really the apprehended is eternal, is the eternal life. There's a payoff for being chosen by Jesus, and then counting everything before Jesus is just worthless. There is a payoff.
Amen.
And that's what that means.
You know what I, you know, comes to my mind. I know it's another scripture in where he talks about where he hasn't obtained. But one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and pressing for those things that are before me.
Yeah.
That's another scripture that comes into my mind when I read that. Pressing toward that mark.
Yeah.
In faith in him.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things.
Oh, there it is.
Which are behind.
Sorry.
We're sitting here looking up at the chat room, and the chat room's empty.
I know.
Yeah, is it working?
I don't know.
Sorry.
I'm the only one. In fact, I'm not even in it.
Yeah, I don't know what's up there, but
we got flipping bars, so
I guess it's going on.
It's great.
Yeah, actually, this is the verse more along the lines I was thinking of, so excuse me. I got ahead of myself.
Yeah, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is humility. You know, when he was pursuing zealously, inflicting hurt on the body. He was prideful. He was positive that he was doing the right thing, and he was feeling good about himself. So now that was not it's, now that all that happened is an embarrassment, and a it brings shame just thinking about it to him. So he counts that, he just forgets those things which are behind, because that can drag you down. If you can't receive the forgiveness and walk in it, forget the stuff that was, because it'll freeze you and absolutely not being able to move. Then you just become a frozen chosen instead of somebody who's actually being profitable for the Lord.
Well, that's that. It takes faith to believe the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It takes faith to believe that His righteousness covers you. Even those things that you did are now shameful, and all these things that can freeze you. But having faith in what He has done, that's you apply that.
Right.
You apply the sufficiency of what He's done for you into those things, and you can press forward in the faith of what He will perform.
Right.
And what He can do. And that's why I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's why He can go forward, because He has faith in the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection, that He can attain this. So He keeps putting His faith where it belongs.
And you know, really, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is that we get to be part of His body.
Amen.
And we get to partake of the death where He paid the price for us, and we get to partake of the power of His resurrection.
And live with Him.
And live with Him, and show Him to others, and show how good He is. And
amen.
You know, it's all yay and amen. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Because God's merciful. And you can't stand there.
You know, we were talking about this a little bit this morning. Pulling down the strongholds and laying every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that comes to mind. You don't want to be
otherwise-minded.
You want to be like-minded. And it's with Jesus, it's yes and amen.
Right.
It's yes and amen. And you don't want to be otherwise-minded. You don't want to have that doubt keeping you back from how good He is. You know, you're talking about this morning, you're messing up the freaking coffee maker messed up, and you still go, yes and amen, thank you, Lord, for this day. Mm. This is irritating. This couldn't happen at a worse time. I'm pissed off, but you know what? Yes and amen, Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah. And you know, I was sitting there, it took me a while to remember that I actually had other forms of caffeine delivery that I had around, but when I realized that, I went like...
You said you had an IV.
Well, I had the coffee tea bag looking things that tasted like... But, you know, they had caffeine in it, and that was... what was the old body was crying out for. So, as we run off chasing another rabbit... where were we?
15. We've read that one.
Just did that
and
one.
If any,
nevertheless, we whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. This is be of the same mind, right, kind of thing he was telling the Corinthians.
Right.
Tell us, speak the same thing. You know. of one mind.
You know, you look at,
and the rulership is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You know, that's a pretty bold statement. That's meekness, though. That's being humble before the Lord and bold before man in your faith.
And that's love.
Yeah.
Because what he walks is that he agrees with God. And it's offense to know that you need Jesus.
Yeah, there's nothing.
You know?
You have no control over this whatsoever. Can't call the shots.
You can't go around any other way. It's Jesus.
You fancy yourself to have chosen yourself to be Lord of your life rather than God, and thereby being an idolater. But the truth of the matter is, that's just a lie, because you can't get where you think you're going that way.
And what he was is exactly was humble before God. I mean, he's agreeing with God. I take a look at the perfect example is Jesus.
Right.
He always did what the Father did. Said and do. He spoke. That's what he tested.
For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And that's just what we were just talking about. These are people who've never got past the first of the Ten Commandments. I'm a jealous God. You shall have no other God but me.
And to think that you're justified and that you don't need the gospel.
Right.
Lord over their own lives, like you said.
Enemies of the cross of Christ. And he knows wherever he speaks, because that's what he'd say he was.
Absolutely.
When he was persecuting the church.
That's where we all stand before we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, his enemies.
Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. They glory in shameful things.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Paul here, and he counts it but all lost. Now, I remember you mentioned up concerning zeal persecuting the church. Paul was in that same boat, because he thought he was doing the will of God, but mm-hmm. now it becomes a shameful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it becomes a shameful thing, and that's they actually glory in the shamefulness of that. Being enemies of the cross of Christ. They actually glory in that.
Yeah.
In their own way, in their own mind.
If our conversation is in heaven, our life is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. You know, that is our hope, to make it there, to be shed of this vile body, to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And our hope is based on his ability
to do it.
To do it. And it was, he was charged with that ability by God.
Amen.
And given that ability. So, you know, it...
And look,
that's,
it says,
a promise and that's a hope.
Absolutely.
It's, because it's joy.
According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, what we can sit back and what we can do is, here's a promise. Are we going to lay hold on this promise? Are we going to have faith in him to do this? That's what the word says he can do. Let's put our faith in what he can do. Let's put our faith in what he has done. Let's put our faith in what he will do.
Right. What he intends to do. This
That's
is a
right.
part of him completing his commitment to us. The next verse in 4, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, seeing as all this stuff here is true. Stand fast in the Lord, because he's good, because his commitment, his faithfulness towards us is, it's pure, and it's, there's no argument against it. No argument can stand against it. He's good, he's true, and he delivers. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that does it for a week in the Hour of Truth. I hope that everything is still going. It looks like it's going here. I don't know what happened to the chat room. I'll have to see if I can make it work again. We're going to get out of here. Scott Stevens is up next with the Jesus Factor, and we're going to music. Thank you for joining us this week.
God bless y'all.
God bless everybody.
God bless.